Now I want to bring on with me for the very first time, and it's been far, far too neglected that we have had him on. I have known him basically all of our lives, and that's over 5 decades. I'd like to say that he and I are just 5 decades old, but he and I have grown up together. He's one of my homeboys, and he has an incredible story to tell. We grew up in the Galilee Baptist Church there in my hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana. The Reverend Dr. E. Edward Jones was our home church pastor, and many things we learned from him. God rest his soul, and we certainly want to thank this man for his service to our nation. He is formerly the fire chief of Atlanta, Georgia, and he was appointed by President Barack Obama as the U.S. The U.S. fire administrator under President Barack Obama. He is a man of great conviction. He is a man who has great integrity. He is unashamedly a Christian and also a disciple of Christ. Help me welcome to the show for the first time, Kelvin J. Cochran. Thank you so much for being on with me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on with you, my big brother, Cleon, and thank you so much for that introduction.
And you know what, folks, I can always tell how long people have known me by what they call me. They're either from Galilee or they're from the neighborhood, or we grew up together. And anybody who calls me Cleon has known me a long, long time, and Kelvin is one of those people. Kelvin, you have written a book, and we want to jump right into the genesis of that, and then we'll get some background on you. The book is called Who Told You That You Were Naked? And tell the audience the genesis of writing this particular book.
Well, unless people connect the title of that book with Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, and realize that that was the reason why I was terminated from employment as the fire chief of the city of Atlanta, when they hear that question, Cleon, they probably say, well, no wonder he got fired. But that title came from Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. It's the question that God asked Adam in the Garden of Eden, of course. But the origin of it, my brother, was about 5 years ago now, I was conducting a small group Bible study with the men at my church at Elizabeth Baptist Church in Atlanta. And we were going through this study called The Quest for Authentic Manhood, and one of the lessons was God's creation of man. And I asked the guys in that session, are men today still struggling from the consequences of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden? Every last one of them, who were all Christian, all saved, said, yes, we are. And so I didn't let them off the hook easily. I said, well, why do you think that? And so each one of them began to share their personal testimonies as to why they felt that way. And as each man talked, the question, who told you that you were naked, continued to record itself over and over and over again in my head. And so after that session, I began the quest, brother, of finding out, was God asking Adam more than who told you that you don't have on any clothes? And it was just months of research on that question of who told you that you were naked, that led to, here's the short answer. That word naked in the context of the Garden of Eden meant condemned and deprived. Adam was asked by God, who told you that you were condemned and deprived? Of course, Adam's solution to his nakedness was fig leaves and hiding behind a tree, and it didn't work. He still felt condemned and deprived. God's solution to his nakedness was to take an innocent lamb, to kill it. It shed its blood, and the Bible says he clothed them with coats of skin. The word clothed, obviously, is the opposite of naked, and in the context of the garden, it meant redeemed and restored. In the book of Galatians 3:27, there's a scripture that says, those who have been baptized in Christ have been clothed with Christ. And then God gave me the answer to why he wouldn't let that question out of my spirit. He said to me, Kelvin, you were talking to a group of 12 clothed men who are still acting like naked men, who are still struggling with condemnation. And unless they walk in the fullness of their salvation as clothed men, they are double-minded. One day they're thinking they're clothed. Whenever they have a transgression, they revert back to nakedness. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and only clothed men will experience the fullness of biblical manhood. And so God commissioned me through that book to ask men today, who told you that you were naked? And I realized that Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe, and there's nothing else that we have to do to get in and stay in right relationship with God.
That's an incredible statement that you've made, and it is one I certainly would trust that all of you men, particularly you fathers out there, will heed to. Kelvin, when we look at the critique that you've just made on the American male in our society, and particularly the Christian male in our society, is this perhaps a reason why we see a disintegration in the family in this country? Is it a forfeiture of responsibility of the male in the family, the uncovering of that male that perhaps has produced not a phenomenon, but a certainty in this society of the family crumbling if the man does not realize who he is? Talk to us about that.
I believe that to be absolutely true because of condemnation and deprivation, men have really deviated from God's original purpose on our lives. When God created everything and then pulled Eve out of Adam and gave them a charge, God said to them to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to have dominion. That was God's original purpose for mankind, spoken through Adam and Eve. And Adam could not do those things without Eve. It took a man and a woman to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to have dominion. And that is how God spreads his kingdom throughout the whole earth from one generation to the next generation. And in Adam's original purpose, Brother Cleon, God made him an image of himself in the earth. As God, as our Father, was source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation of the human family, he put the resources in Adam as the first male to be the source. Eve came out of him, but he also gave him the capacity to sustain Eve and her boys, to nourish even her boys, to protect, provide for them, and to be the foundation of faith and righteousness for the next generation of the sons and daughters that would come after Seth. That's the way God set it up from the beginning. Men today, Cleon, without Christ, cannot really walk in the fullness of being the source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation of faith and righteousness to pass on the image of God from one generation to the next, from one family to the next. And, of course, being a man who was born initially with a mom and dad, but my dad left my mother with six kids to raise all by herself, I have experienced the full impact of not having a father with my mother, and together, both of them being godly parents, to be the source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation. Thank God I had a godly mother, and with the help of our Heavenly Father, through the blessings of God manifested in my life over the years, I can say by the grace of God that he has made me a husband and a father, and I am a source, sustainer, provider, protector, nourisher, and foundation in my household. But it's God's intent for men to be that in households all over the world. And I believe because that is not the case, we are experiencing the consequences of fatherless homes all over the world. We are experiencing the consequences of husbands abandoning their wives and children all over the world. If you remember at the end of the book of Malachi, when it talks about the coming of the prophet John, it says one of his responsibilities would be He will restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Then it says, else I will curse the land. Well, I think what we're experiencing in America and across the world are the consequences of the lack of fatherless homes who have turned their hearts away from their children. And as a result of that, children who have turned their hearts away from their fathers, I believe we're experiencing the consequences of fatherlessness because of those things that we're experiencing every day around the world.
Absolutely.
I know that was a long-winded answer.
No,
but
that is one that is detailed, and it is one that need to be heard. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, it is time for men and women of courage and faith to step forward. On with me is former U.S. Fire Administrator under President Barack Obama, the former police fire chief of Atlanta, Georgia. Kelvin Cochran is on with me. He is the author of the book, Who Told You That You Were Naked? And Kelvin, you know, when we have these types of conversations, I remember others, prominent personalities in our country who have tried to have this conversation. And in many cases, as truthful as the conversation is, they were shouted down and they were called, well, someone who grew up with a silver spoon or whatever in their mouth. You and I grew up in an era where becoming U.S. fire administrator, and full disclosure, Kevin was the first black U.S. fire administrator in the country. And we grew up in a time where that type of lofty position for black Americans was a dream. And of course, Dr. King did have a dream where one day we would enjoy these types of abilities to share our talents with America. And Kelvin is the culmination of that type thing. God has blessed him to do these types of things. But my question is this, Kelvin, people will hear what you're saying, and they may think that you're speaking from a historical standpoint of being someone who was privileged. Now, you opened the door to tell us a little bit about your upbringing. You didn't have a silver spoon in your mouth. I have about 4 minutes left in this segment. I want you to stay with me through the break, but start on that. Give us your journey and your evolution.
Well, my journey starts with being born in the Deep South in Shreveport, Louisiana, at Confederate Memorial Hospital, no less. And when my mama and daddy took me home, we were living in a government project on Allen Avenue called Alameda Terrace. It was one of the poorest neighborhoods in Shreveport, Louisiana. After my two sisters, I was the fourth of four boys. Two sisters were born after I was born, and it was at that time that my dad left my mother for another woman. He was an alcoholic. And we could no longer afford to live in the projects anymore. We were evicted because my mother could not pay the rent. And she had to move us a few blocks over in a back alley called Rear Snow Street, where the poor people live. And I use that word intentionally because there was two categories of poor in Shreveport. It was poor, P-O-O-R, and po, P-O. The poor people had more than the po people, and we were in the po category. We didn't have enough income to qualify for P-O-O-R, and we were on welfare and food stamps. My mother worked at a dry cleaner's, and it just wasn't enough to take care of six kids and to pay the rent in that shotgun house that we were living in. And for the listeners who don't know what a shotgun house is, it's a house with a front room, a middle room, and a back room about as narrow as a regular standard trailer home, but not as long. And it has a front door and a back door. And if you open the front door and back door and shot a gun in the front door, it'll go right out the back door without touching anything. That's why they call them shotgun houses. And I remember, Cleon, how awful poverty was in those days. We had to sleep in the same bed. You know my big brothers.
Oh, yeah.
All of us slept in the same bed on an old box spring and mattress that was stacked on cinder blocks that had boards across the top of them. And my two little sisters slept in the same room in another little bed stacked on bricks with boards across the top of them. And we were very poor. Mama never had enough money to keep all the utilities on. Something was always off. And the groceries were never enough. At the end of the month, we ended up eating mayonnaise sandwiches and drinking sugar water until the next set of food stamps came, and she could buy groceries again. And so I realized that poverty was an awful thing. I also realized that not having Dad in the house was hard on my precious mother. And thank God she joined the Galilee Baptist Church when we moved in that alley. And I began to see men at church who were with their wives. Your dad was one of them, man, and saw him and your mom and you and other families in Galilee that had dad, mom, and kids. And I began to have a vision of what God wanted a family to look like, and I wanted to have one when I grow up. And it was that alley. It was in that alley one Sunday after church. I don't know if you remember Miss Maddie Cleon. She lived across the alley from us. Her house caught on fire. And the Shreveport firefighters came, and I looked at those guys that day. My eyes were lit up. My heart was beating. And after they put that fire out, I looked at my mama and brothers and sisters and said, I want to be a fireman when I grow up. And you know the grown-ups in that era, they asked us all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I don't want to be poor. I want a family, and I want to be a firefighter. And this is what they taught us at church, at school, and in our homes. They said, in the United States of America, all your dreams will come true if you believe in and have faith in God, go to school and get a good education. If you respect grown-ups and treat other children like you want to be treated, they said, all your dreams are going to come true. We were raised on faith and patriotism, and faith and patriotism is what caused me to be the man that I am today.
Absolutely. I do remember Maddie Carmack. I remember when her house caught on fire, Kelvin. Man, you took me way back down memory lane. We're on with Kelvin Cochran. Kelvin Cochran, former fire chief of Atlanta and former U.S. fire administrator in the Barack Obama administration. I'll be right back.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
CL, back with you coast to coast, border to border, building the bridge between the sacred and the secular here on the CL Bryant Show daily over our flagship station, Red State Talk Radio. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming along with us wherever you might be listening. I want to welcome aboard also our friends at Urban Family Talk, a ministry of American Family Radio and Loving Liberty and whatever terrestrial station you might be listening to. Hey, and you folks traveling through Times Square there in New York City, look up above Ripley's, believe it or not, and you will see the Red State Talk billboard there. And every hour, 24 hours a day, the CL Bryant Show does pop up there on that big screen in Times Square. And old CL's face is looking right back at you. Thank you so much for making the show as popular as it has become. My special guest is Kelvin J. Cochran. And I got to tell you something, folks. When he mentioned, you know, I was born in Confederate Memorial Hospital, too. The Lord let me live to see the 28th day of March. It was 63 years ago, and our country was a different place at that point in time. And Kelvin, when I think about that, I think about how close-knit the church family was back in the day, as you and I can say now, because you're not too far behind me. I grew up with Kelvin's older brothers, Raymond and Randy, and Danny came along every once in a while, and you know, but we were friends, and I've known Kelvin since he was a very quiet, very serious young man, still that way. And this is what I want to ask you. Have we seen a time come where we can look back over the span of time and see that back when you and I were growing up, you were on Rear Snow, I was growing up on Milam Street, and we did not see the benefits, or the times were not as good, but it seemed to me, Kelvin, that people were better. And the reason I'm saying that is because it seems that the church was more of the central focus of the community. Have we lost that as a people, both black and American people? And do you see the church not having the effect that it once did, or are we missing something? Talk to us about it.
Well, I think that from my experience, from the way things were in Shreveport, Louisiana, when we grew up, we had a diversity of economic demographics in the Galilee Baptist Church. Of course, it was predominantly African-American church, but there was a diversity of demographics, several single moms and a lot of poor single moms, and, of course, families, that were together. As Pastor Jones taught in those days, there are no big I's and no little U's. It's the church where everybody is somebody. So he inspired a sense of community in communities across the United States of America. But church closed a significant gap in any lack within a family, no matter what that lack might have been, and it was a true sense of community. What we heard at home was repeated at the church. What we heard at church and home was repeated at school. And so there was, that whole village unity concept that existed in that era. And certainly the opportunities that we were deprived of in those days was enough reason to be down and out, but we just never felt down and out. There was always hope that there was going to be a brighter future for us and our families. And that equity and justice would soon win out, that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was going to be a reality one day. I mean, we just believed that. That was instilled in us as kids. Children today no longer have a structure, a family, church, and school that is as supportive and united as it was when we were kids. Everywhere we went, we were inspired to dream big dreams. Brother Cleon, I've spoken to children in middle school over the last few years who don't have hope, who don't have dreams, who don't have a vision of a better future. And I think it's because they don't have a godly parent in their house that's telling them that all things are possible to them that believe, that's really instilling in them the value of the patriotism and stewardship of citizenship, and that are not connected to a community of faith called the local church that backs up those values in the home that are biblically based values. And certainly the schools in public schools do not consistently provide the support to not only educate children but to feed their dreams and their vision for the future. And I think what we're experiencing today is by and large a consequence of not having what we had in those areas, family, church, and school, when we were growing up.
One final question for you, Kelvin, is this. When we look at the ability to speak publicly our convictions and faith. One of the things that created the situation and the furor around you was you saying what was on your mind, and what was on your mind became public knowledge. And anybody that knows Kelvin knows that he is a man of principle. And when it comes to standing on principle or going along with the crowd for popularity, folks always choose the principle, always choose your core values. Ours happens to be the Judeo-Christian ethic. We're both Christians. Kelvin, is there a true attack on religious liberty in this country from your perspective?
Oh, absolutely, yes, Cleon. And my story is just one of a growing list of many where a government entity and special interest groups have worked together to pose adverse action on another American for publicly proclaiming a position based upon biblical truth that is not consistent with popular culture and the shifting pluralisms of political correctness. And my situation came as a result, again, of in my own private time writing the book, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Overcoming the Stronghold of Condemnation. And in our country, we have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. However, I found out after what happened to me that it is no longer, there's no longer a sense of true tolerance as it relates to speech and religion in the United States of America, especially when it comes to certain topical areas like marriage and sexuality. And so in a 162-page book written for Christian men Bible study, again with the theme of overcoming the stronghold of condemnation, I simply, in a few paragraphs, defined what the Bible says about marriage and what the Bible says about sexuality and sex. And it was the expression of those biblical views of marriage and sexuality that caused my 34-year childhood dream come true fairy tale career to come to a screeching halt.
Wow. You know, Kelvin, everyone wants to know now, how do they get a hold of your book? Tell them how to get a hold of you as well, in case they want you to come and speak to them wherever they may be in the country and perhaps wherever you might be around the globe. Kelvin, you have the last word. Tell them how to get in touch.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. I can be reached at kelvin.cochran@yahoo.com for speaking engagements regarding religious liberty and for men's ministry opportunities. I just have a passion for advocating for religious liberty and a passion for men being who God has created us to be and who has called us to be. And if I could be of service to you in that regard, please email me at kelvin.cochran@yahoo.com. Also, the book, Who Told You That You Were Naked, can be found on the website 3GPublishingInc.com. That's 3GPublishingInc.com, or AmazonBooks.com is another way to find Who Told You That You Were Naked.
Pick it up.
So thank you so much for that, brother.
You, by all means, and we got to have you back because there are there's an expansion on topics that you brought up here today that I do want to investigate and go down the path with you on. And again, my guest has been Kelvin Cochran, former U.S. Fire Administrator under President Obama, and former fire chief of the great city of Atlanta. And thank you again. Tell everyone that I said hello. And I need to say this. His mother, Jane Cochran, was, you may not have ever known this, Kelvin, but she was an inspiration to all of us. She was evangelical.
Wow.
She was evangelical and was leading the way to that before any of us had a clue, folks. I got to tell you that. God bless you.
Wow.
And God keep you.
Thank
is
you.
My prayer. Talk to you soon.